Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast, where every week we showcase incredible businesses in rural and northern Canada. Businesses that are not only growing, but are looking to hire.
We're here to show you companies and communities outside of the big cities that are building stronger and more inclusive workplaces. Workplaces that want and are encouraging newcomers, immigrants, and refugees to work with them.
Let us be your guides to help you find the best places in Canada to not only immigrate, but build a career and settle.
I'm your host, Leah Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Lindsay Rubenek.
Join us as we learn about all of the amazing career opportunities in places that you may not have ever thought of moving.
Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast. Lindsay and I are super excited to have a business on, Veeder Vertical Storage Solutions. They are located in the Interlake. However, I won't say too much more about them. I'm going to introduce both of them and they can tell us more about their company and why they are an amazing place to work. So we have on today Christina Vieira. She is the HR director, and Jody Lee Kaming. She is the talent acquisition specialist. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. So I'm going to just do a quick little summary. Your company is very dear to my heart. I want to just let everyone know I've been working with Veeder Vertical Storage Solutions for the last couple of years. What I also do is I offer language supports, and Veeder has been amazing. I've been in there for the last couple of years teaching English. And so when we started this podcast, your company was number one in my mind to have on because you're such a welcoming company, and I just want to showcase you to everyone. So we'll start right off the bat. If you want to tell us about your company, give everyone a little bit of a summary about what you do and things like that.
Okay, I can start. So I have been with Veeder Solutions, and we don't always say the storage portion of it, so I'll make it a little bit easier on you, Leah. It's Veeder Solutions, Inc. We do operate in the Interlake, actually the heart of the Interlake, as people would know us from. Originally started in Arbor. So in Veeder, actually the little community outside of Arbor, our founder, Willie Duick, we continue to honor his legacy. One of the things that, of course, he was very passionate about was about serving the people in the communities that he operated in. And education was such a dear thing for him, very close to his heart. I'm going to echo and give kudos to Leah as well. The partnership has been amazing. The English piece of it is just a scratch on the surface of the impact I think the partnership has made to our employees at Veeder. But I'll talk a little bit about the company. It's been in operation for obviously, 35 years plus. Our purpose, our mission is to make the world's products safely accessible. Our solutions are found around the world in 40 countries. It's this little nugget of a secret that I never knew existed. I was recruited actually through a headhunter 7 years ago now. My position was the first one as the director of HR on the leadership team. So they brought me on board. I never knew it existed. So to come and join, and I'll call it a family, I'll call it a team of heroes, and you'll see a little bit and hear a little bit about probably our values. And if you're ever checking out our website, we talk a lot about how the connection to our communities and our values is so important. So we design and manufacture industry leading vertical automated storage and retrieval system. So I had to look at that because it's a mouthful. Really, we operate to make other companies, their storage solutions, we operate to make their lives easier, really. So our products range, we've got a variety of products, and most people that will be listening to our podcast would have encountered our products because we are in Walmart's, Home Depot. One that's near for Jody Lee is Walt Disney. We have products in Walt Disney, in the White House as well. So it's actually amazing when you look at the line of products that we manufacture. I'll just talk about that. The company is absolutely built on the foundation of our founder, like I talked about, Willie Duick. I built on the values of quality, innovation, community, and safety. We foster a family environment that prioritizes diversity, inclusivity, high employee satisfaction, and we encourage creativity and innovation in our employees. I'll let Jody Lee talk a little bit about that as well, because she has lots of insights for sure. Thank you.
For sure.
Yeah. So I've been with the company for just over 5 years. I started out as the welcome coordinator at the front desk and then have worked in moved into a role in talent acquisition through the HR team. So one of our values as a company is to elevate, we call it elevating careers and communities. So what VEDR does really well is it will take people that are maybe in an entry-level role and work with them to promote them, whether internally and really elevate careers, but also they also want to elevate the communities that they're in. So we're in two communities in the Interlake. We're in the community of Toulon and Arberg, which are two Interlake communities just up number 7 highway here. Each of them are roughly the same size, 12 to 1400 individuals that live in this community. So we are a great employer for people in this area if you're looking for work in all different kinds of fields, whether it's production, you know, manufacturing, whether it's finance, HR, customer care, engineering, purchasing and supply chain management, and then also sales and marketing as well. So we offer a wide gamut of roles because we do full manufacturing here and we have our offices in each of these locations as well. So it's wonderful to not only work for this company, but live in the community where your company operates. So that's a really great feature that VEDR offers as well.
We do have, I'm just going to add to that, we do have a distribution warehouse in Pennsylvania in the U.S., so, and we have approximately, I believe, 7-8 employees that would work in and out of there through sales and marketing and warehousing as well. Overall, we have approximately 250 employees, and we have grown quite a bit, actually, since I first started. We were at approximately 130 employees and are up to 250 now in a very short span of time.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome. And what I really like too about where you're located is, you know, you're actually, you know, Toulon and Arberg, you're really only an hour and a bit from the city, right? You do have employees that commute from the city to Toulon, so people can still have that city life if they want, but yeah, work rurally. And there's lots of great communities in the Interlake that are within a half hour of both communities. So, you know, there's lots of options for affordable living for people, mm-hmm, you know, and yeah, their spouses, right, depending on where they're working. And so that's what's really great about the Interlake as well.
Yeah, I always tell candidates that want to come work in Arberg, I say, look, you're 90 minutes from a Costco, you know, so yeah, if they don't want to live in the city, but they still want to be close to the city amenities, it's not far for them to utilize those utility, those amenities that the city has. So it's not too terrible of a distance. Yeah.
We talk about balancing, I think the ability to balance the family life being close and not having a large commute if you live in our communities. And then, you know, in Toulon, obviously, we attract probably a little bit wider scope in terms of people traveling in from Winnipeg. But we have a lot of long-term employees that work on our production floor that carpool together. They're, you know, they've created their own little, almost like little team and family coming through here. We have, I think, the popularity or our word of mouth on the things that we do in terms of promoting our employee engagement, I think it's far reached. When I talk to some of my colleagues that work in the city, they're actually quite amazed at the level of events and, you know, things that we do to really bring the closeness of our employees together and celebrate together. I've never worked in a place. I mean, I've been in the business for a long time and will retire with VEDR. So, but I have, and I can honestly say, and it's not because I work here and I'm, you know, heading up the department, that it is the best level of community-minded environment that I have mm-hmm. ever worked in. So,
oh, yeah. For sure. Now, so I'm going to ask one more question, then Lindsay's going to ask some questions. So, and I mean, I probably know the answer because I'm the language person here, but what are your expectations? Because I know a lot of times when newcomers are applying to positions, you know, they don't want to have to, they're worried about asking that, or they're worried about what will employers think. So do you have specific language expectations when doing interviews?
Christina, do you want me to answer this one?
Or
do
yes. you wanna... Okay. Go ahead. I'll add to it.
So I guess the language expectations, it varies by position. For roles that are a little bit on less customer focused, if, for example, if you we hire for customer service specialists, so there is a lot of interacting over the phone, over email with customers. So obviously the language level would have to be at an acceptable level where the employee can engage the customer and the customer feels that they are understanding what their needs are. So obviously there's a higher level there. For roles that we do have entry level roles that do that don't require that higher level of English, but we want to make sure that when we hire somebody that we're ensuring that there's safe and effective communication so that when they pick up a safe work procedure or we're training them on safety processes that there's still an understanding. And so we'll use tools to help them understand. You know, we have used Google Translate. We use it in interviews as well. One of the things that our hiring committees are getting really skilled at is interviewing people whose first language is not English. And we will do whatever we can to make sure that the candidate feels comfortable, that it's okay for them to pause and translate in their head their answer, and that it's okay for the candidate to ask us to repeat a question. And we use things like Google Translate to help them understand the question. And so we're mindful of that when we're in an interview. But for more advanced roles, you know, we talk about engineering, you talk about some of our finance roles, and even human resources roles, we would require maybe a higher level of English, but we have hired people who speak very little English, and we're just more diligent with them to ensure comprehension when we do have to go through very important processes like safety and all those kinds of things.
And in addition to that, so in saying that, once we bring them in through our door, of course, that's when we open up the partnership and the opportunities to provide the English classes through through Leia, right? So that's the key for us. And we have seen people come in and develop, and the progression in their English skills has allowed them to get to the level that they're actually applying for more complex roles in our organization. So we're seeing people advance. They may come in at a lower level understanding and speaking, but quickly moving into the ability to actually bid and be successful in higher level roles that would require a more fluent ability to speak the language. I mean, that's something that Leia can absolutely talk about as she sees the progression of our students. But, you know, she provides weekly report cards, and I read them, and I may not always comment on them, but I absolutely read every single one of them. And the feelings that I get, and I, this is part of the job that makes me happy to do what I do, and so proud of to see the level of engagement and progression in our employees. That's probably one of my biggest things that I will continue to talk about, even after I'm not here or whatever. It is that impact that the English language process has made on our employees.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big, Viter gets it. I think a lot of companies don't realize it yet, right? And it's bringing that awareness that when you invest in your employees, when you offer those supports in-house, you know, it raises your employees up. It gives them, they're going to stay, they're going to apply for those higher positions. And especially in rural communities, it's a great way to retain employees. Yeah. It's very cool, even just myself, to see the growth that I've seen over the last couple of years, you know, people going into different positions, and even, you know, some of the, because I was there yesterday teaching English, and we were talking about this one book, and one of the employees said, you know, I never would have read an English book if I hadn't been able to come to English class and do it, right? It motivates me. And so I love hearing those stories too.
Yeah.
Lindsay, yeah. I'm taking it all okay. up here. I'm going to let you move in. Lindsay's our immigration specialist, so she's going to ask some questions here.
Of course.
Okay. Well, thanks, ladies. Thanks for sharing your time with us. And you've actually, in terms of speaking about English and advancement, you remind me of the last company that we had a chat with, Vermilion Growers in Dauphin, that you're very similar in your approach. And so I think that's probably why you retain a lot of people, is you really embrace them and you welcome them and you provide them with resources that they need. So in speaking of newcomers, and you have mentioned that they're able to, be promoted to various positions. And so I'm just wondering, in terms of immigration, how have you supported them? And then as well as for their immigration pathways?
I'm going to let Julie talk a little bit about that, but I'm just going to add the horizon or the challenges of all the changes and in immigration laws and regulations and rules. It's been quite a journey and a dynamic. So, fortunate that, Jody Lee has definitely done her, started doing the research. We have worked on some of our more complex cases with an immigration lawyer, who like Reese Pakistan from, I don't have to tout him because he is well known around Manitoba as very solid, knowledgeable. So some of our key positions that we've had to recruit and more challenging, we've actually utilized him, but we've done different things. So I'll let Jody Lee talk a little bit about some of the things that we've done to support our folks.
Yeah, so we would identify a role that is difficult to hire. So I'll speak for one example. About 3 years ago, we realized that hiring welders was going to be a challenge. We were coming up with a strategy to not only retain the welders we had, but also to hire more welders because it was such a key piece of our production department. And we were not having great success in sourcing from the Interlake area for our Aarberg facility. So we thought about different options, and one of them was to hiring foreign workers. So we found an agency in Alberta that helps Canadian companies do this sort of thing. So they do a lot of the legwork. They actually go to a country and find people and vet them. And then we interview them and take over the process there. So we worked with a company that went to the Philippines as the country that they work with and have had great success. And they found us. At the time, we were only going to apply for two or three, and we ended up hiring five from the Philippines. And so that was a year-long process to actually get. We started interviewing in February of 2021, and they got here on a chilly January day in 2023, I think. So 2022, we started, and then they got here in 23. And I tell you, it was an eye-opening experience for them to come in January of all times. So we know they're committed. Yeah. To the work, but it was a process where there was a lot of hoops to jump through, but luckily we had an agency that was helping us. So we have gone through that process as well, to get people here from other countries and resettle them. So that was a big learning experience for us, and the challenges that come with that: finding housing, getting them supports that they need to get their driver's license, their medical card, all of that stuff. So we did a lot of that as a company, helping and supporting them. We've also, on a case-by-case basis, if it's a role that's difficult to fill and the employee's work permit is, expiring, and we have entered into an LMIA agreement with them so that we can get their work permit extended. However, it's not something we do a lot of. We're very supportive of people applying for permanent residency. And so we give them the documentation that they need in order to get their applications filled out. So we obviously want to keep them with our business. And so we'll support them in that way so that they can maintain their status in Canada.
Okay, so that's awesome. So you don't, your company doesn't expect very much Canadian experience when you hire. So you're very open to having people apply from abroad if they qualify for a certain trade and so on and so forth, as long as they have experience maybe within that field, but it doesn't necessarily have to be Canadian experience.
No, it doesn't. And, I think we're a friendly business to newcomers that are already here. You know, we talk about all the Ukrainians that came a couple of years ago. And so we saw a huge increase in the amount of newcomers in the Aarberg area, particularly that were from Ukraine. And so we were a great option for them is what I'm trying to mm-hmm. say, because we saw transferable skills. Maybe they aren't a welder or a painter or a machine operator, but they could do it if we train them, because they have transferable skills that we see in other areas from their work experience. We've got two individuals that come from a marketing background. One is a production team lead, was just recently promoted to a team lead, and one is now working in customer care as an admin. So, you know, there are many reasons to look for these transferable skills based on their experience from their home country.
Yeah, I think it's important for sure to note, we value all types of experience. For us to truthfully, we look mostly for the cultural fit, like the soft skills. How does that person fit into our values? Are they kind? Are they authentic? The emotional intelligence? Are they kind to each other? Those are the fundamentals that we really want to make sure that we're adding to our culture. Now, obviously, there are some positions that require, you know, we're going to make sure they have the technical training or the skill sets, if it was a welder or an engineer. But ultimately, it's the soft skills, the personal skills that we highly value. For us, that's what engages, I think, them with other people in the organization. And just want that right fit. It's so important that we maintain that culture that was started years and years and years ago, and it continues to really be in our DNA. You know, right from the CEO to any position, you will hear that constantly. We've looked at our hiring practices. We want to make sure that there are no barriers, and whether it's language or, you know, we do not ask for a minimum of grade 12. That is no longer a thing that used to be there years ago in other organizations. It is really about the fundamentals, the basics that they need, and then we will develop. We have a lot of programs that we invest in, our development programs, leadership, and in-house programs. So,
and I think that's just so important. Exactly. Like, you know, you can train someone, right? It's just they have to have the right attitude. And I think that's the key for a lot of positions and stuff.
Yes.
You know, and I think too, offering all those training programs, you really get to see who's motivated. And who's not, you know, Jodi Lee, you mentioned those two. I know the two you're talking about, and they're in English class and they work hard and they're motivated. And as an employer, you see that, and then you know, okay, that person, you know, they're going to go far. So,
yeah. I believe we have another, gentleman that, you know, did come from the Ukraine as well. He was a professional in a professional type role back in the Ukraine. So he's come to Vitor. He's engaging in probably the higher level English classes. Our vision for him, it will be eventually, we want to groom him for a manager role. Like, he has the ability and the know-how, and is so engaged, and his you know, obviously his English is remarkable. He's done really well in that area. So that's the type of person that we want long-term and to retain. So we want to make sure we invest, because if we don't invest, somebody else will, right? Mm-hmm. That you know, got to make sure that they see a future with our company.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree about that. I had the opportunity to work with a group of Ukrainians, and we assisted in settling 75 families, and 60 would be in the city of Dauphin. And they have all stayed because they were offered really good jobs, and we provided them with additional English language and so on and so forth. So, and they've also progressed. They've been promoted. And I know one started as a laborer, and now he is supervisor for safety. Like, it's unbelievable what newcomers can do if they're provided the opportunity, resources, and have great employers like yourselves. Like, it's amazing what can be done.
Yeah, no. I agree. I think we're seeing success stories all over. And you know, when they immigrated originally, we're probably, I think, is it third year now already when they originally?
So
it's amazing to see the success stories. I'd be so interested to see know, somebody do a highlight or something to acknowledge, just to motivate other people that of the future and the passion I think that Manitobans and Manitoba companies have to retain all these folks that have come over, you know. And yeah, I mean, it's a big passion for me for sure to see that. So
Let's talk about then, how does someone come to work at Veeder? You know, what is your hiring process? Can you talk a little bit about that? So people listening to the podcast, they go on your site. What's the best way? And what does that whole process look like?
You can find our postings on our website, VeederSolutions.com. They're linked to Indeed as well. So I know that that's a tool that a lot of people use is Indeed. We also post on LinkedIn as well. So I encourage newcomers to create a LinkedIn profile. It's such a great way for me as a recruiter to connect with you. So I want to put that plug out there as well. Mm-hmm. But we gather the applications and we look at the resume for the job that we're hiring for. So if I can give some advice to newcomers is work with someone that can help you with your resume and tailor it to the job that you're applying for. Don't send the same resume to every job posting, right? So I'm looking for that transferable skill, even though the experience might not line up or might not match. So if I see that we're doing a role for finance, this person may not have finance experience, but maybe they have a background in marketing, or maybe they have a background in some other kind of office admin where attention to detail is important. So I'm going to look for that, right? So make it so that it's transferable. So we review the resumes, we kind of pull out the high flyers, the ones that we really want to engage with. And I call the candidate to do a pre-screen. Sometimes I do it over the phone. I'm starting to do them now over a video call just so that it can feel a little bit more personal. I can get to know the candidate. And sometimes I'll even do a pre-screen in person. If the candidate dropped off their resume in person, I'll be like, come on in and let me just chat with you for 10, 15 minutes. So it's a pre-screen to just talk a little bit about experience, answer their questions, because so many applicants have questions that they want to know. And this is it's just two people in a room talking, or two people talking over a video call. So it feels more comfortable and a little more informal than a face-to-face interview. If they get through the pre-screen process and it goes well, we do bring them to our facility to interview them. You know, we set it up in a boardroom, and sometimes it can be intimidating, but our hiring committees, like I said, are so welcoming. And we always tell the candidate that our job as a committee is to get the best interview that we can from the applicant. So we coach the applicant through the interview. There's no tricks involved, and we conduct what's called a behavioral interview, where we want you to draw your answers from your experiences. Our questions are designed, tell us about a time when this happened. What did you do? What did you learn from that experience? And so we talk about the situation you were in, the action you took, and the direct results of your action. So it's a STAR interview process. I know that's what a lot of recruiters call is the STAR interview process. And then so after the interview, we'll let them know a few days later if they were successful or not, and then we extend them an offer. So that's kind of the very condensed version of how the process goes. And that process from start to finish can take anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks in general.
No, that's great. I have a quick question. Just, you know, you talked about a LinkedIn there, and I'm curious because I hear this a lot. What are your thoughts when someone connects with you on LinkedIn? Should they be, my personal opinion is people should be writing a note, right? You know, why do they want to connect with you? You know, because a lot of times people just click that connect button and there's no, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Because to me, that's even the first step of that interview, right? How are they handling that position? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I like a little personalized note with a connection. You know, why are you connecting with me? Because I look at their profile page and I go, okay, where's the connection? Like, why the connection, right? So if you see my profile and you want to connect with me because you're interested in a job that you've seen, just put that in your note, and then it'll flag it in my brain, and then I'll remember, because I get a lot of resumes every week, every month, you know, and sometimes I remember names, but I don't remember every name. But if there's something unique about you and about the connection that we make, I will remember that, whether it's something about your picture or something about you, we have common interest, or even just the fact that I remember that unique way that we connected. It's always a great way to keep in my memory.
Yeah, I agree. Like, how do you stand out? Because sometimes it's true. We get bombarded. I'm terrible with LinkedIn. I let everyone in. I'm just that person.
I do too. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Except, and then I'm like, oh, and then people will say stuff and start conversations, but that's okay. That's who I am. But I think Jody Lee, I think it was you and I that we went to a career fair one day, and this lady, remember this lady, this young student came up to us, and she had this beautiful Coach purse with like really nice flowers on it. Mm-hmm. Now, anyone that knows me, and actually me and Jody both like Coach purses, but this lady did not know that. But she stood out she had this unique purse that was very different. And we engaged in conversations, and I can actually still picture her to this day. So this is kind of, it's a simplified story, but it actually shows that if you have an opportunity to wear something that's a little bit, you know, a little bit that stands out, that shows your personality, recruiters and people will remember that, especially events like network, and don't be shy, like just put yourself out there and be confident. Yeah. Because that really for me stands out. I love to see that, and somebody that shows up in an authentic self of themselves as well, right? That's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So ladies, I just want to switch gears just for a moment. One of the biggest things that my clients say to me when they start looking at different communities to live within is they often ask, well, what can my spouse do there? And so with your current workers, what experiences have you had in terms of, you know, the families and where the spouses are working?
I wonder if Veeder holds the record for the most spousal units that work at a company.
You know how many conflict of interest things we have to sign and declare? That's a great question. Yeah,
it is. And we get that question a lot from newcomers. They've just come into Canada. Yes. They're applying for a job. My wife is this is her background, or my husband's background is this. And we say, yes, get them to apply, please. And so we have a really good referral program where employees are encouraged to refer family and friends, as long as it's not in a super where the spouse isn't going to supervise the spouse. So we invite those referrals. And so there's a $250 referral bonus if we hire them. And then if they complete their probationary period, either 3 or 6 months, then we give them another $750. So there's a strong incentive for employees to refer friends and family. Mm-hmm. And we love receiving those applications from family and friends that just say, hey, Veeder's a great place to work. Please join us.
Mm-hmm. And further to that, what often also happens is that we have the principal applicant, as you two would be aware of, right? So you have the principal applicant that's going to go through the immigration process. Mm-hmm. But quite often, actually, it turns out it's the spouse that takes over the process and is able to immigrate quicker for some peculiar reason, right? So spouses do actually play a critical role in immigration, and then, you know, especially where the principal applicant's going to land their job. So thank you guys for that. And I love your referral program. It's brilliant.
And I think we understand that relocating to our area is a family affair, right? It does include engagement and buy-in and like settling in from both, you know, the families, the partners. So we have, I talked a little bit about, you used Reese to hire, we went through a program and we hired two Brazilian folks that were automation specialists, which is really hard to find in Canada. Both their spouses came and worked for us as well. Yep. So, Jody Lee has a husband that works in here with us as well. We have a lot of people that we will look at their spouse, and if we have the right fit, absolutely look at bringing them into the organization. It helps absolutely 100% with retention for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, last question, Jody. Do any of your positions require French?
No, I don't believe so. I haven't come across that yet. We do, I don't know, Christina, do we have sales in France where a customer care rep may need to talk with a French customer? I don't know, but I don't think so.
We have a, it's funny you say French because a few years ago we actually sold, we had a huge customer in Portugal. And so we worked and, but we found that the team there very highly, you know, they spoke French. I mean, sorry, not French. They spoke English. So we didn't have, our director of engineering is Portuguese. I'm Portuguese. So we actually had a few conversations that we actually had, but that was more for the client base. But we do not have at that point. Now, that's not saying in the future, if we branched into some of these markets, that we wouldn't look at having that piece of it, whether it's French or maybe another language, because we are branching into lots of South America markets. We have actually have a salesperson and now an installer, a field service technician that speaks Spanish, that has a Mexican visa, that can actually go in and out of Mexico without any issue. So we are seeing a huge expansion in that area.
Yeah, well, multiple languages.
Oops, sorry. Yeah. So I would say Spanish would be the more desired language, other not French, just because of where we're going in the markets.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. I think, Lindsay, do we have any other questions?
No, I think we're at the most amazing job, like just answering everything. And if I was looking for a position, I certainly would apply to you. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, you're very welcoming and you have a lot of great ideas and. Yeah, so great job. And I'm really proud to say that you guys live and work in rural Manitoba. So excellent. Yeah. Thank you.
Love it. Love it. I mean, we're just scratching the surface. We have a great company and welcome anyone to come and look at our opportunities for sure. And I appreciate so much the opportunity to speak on this platform because we don't get many opportunities to actually toot our horn, but I love it. Thank you.
Yes. Well, we want to toot your horn. that's our goal. We want everyone moving rural. That's, you know, we're both very passionate about growing rural. There's just so many opportunities. It's more affordable. You know, the list goes on. We all know, right? We all know the benefits. And so we're really hoping to showcase that. So yes, thank you once again for coming, everyone. Thank you for listening. And Lindsay, I'll let you sign off.
Thanks, ladies. And we'd like all of our listeners to always remember, live rural, live well. Thank you.
If you feel this could assist other people like yourself, please like and share our podcast. As well, we will leave links below to the topics we spoke about today. Thank you for listening and join us next time to learn about another great company and community that is a great place to work and settle.